The Bookhouse is an independent bookstore with two locations in New Jersey, Millburn and Long Branch. Are you the guy who says they like to support indie bookstores? Good. Then be that guy. Come shop at The Bookhouse. Books, puzzles, games, coffee, cards, live author events, comedy nights, and most important, a real sense of community where actual human beings engage with one another. The Bookhouse in downtown Millburn and at Pier Village in Long Branch. That's The Bookhouse. Independent, local, quaint as fuck. Follow us on Instagram and come visit our stores.
My guest today is M.K. Pagano, who writes stories about messy girls, mayhem, and murder. Her debut novel, Girls Who Burn, came out July 16th with Penguin Teen. I just finished it this weekend, and I loved it, and I'm so excited to chat with you, M.K. Thank you for being here with me.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to chat.
Thanks. So I was wondering if you could share a little bit in your own words about what Girls Who Burn is all about and where the inspiration for the story came from.
Sure. So Girls Who Burn is about a girl, funnily enough. Her sister was found dead in the woods near their house. The police ruled it an accident. But Addie, my protagonist, she never bought their explanation. She accuses the rich boy down the street that they all grew up with of killing her sister. There was some romantic angst between them, but he's never arrested. She's trying to move on. She's realized that there's a different set of rules for the wealthy and the not wealthy in their town. When this summer rolls around and that boy she accused is also found dead. So she has to admit she was wrong. And then she also has to team up with this boy's cousin, and they have a complicated romantic history as well. He's kind of her childhood frenemy, how I'm putting it. So they spend the book kind of going through different avenues of investigation and trying to find out who's really killing people. And in the meantime, they also have to face their feelings for each other.
Yes. And not to jump ahead too much, but I just love how many compelling components you have here. You have sort of the, you know, frenemies to lovers. You have a fraught friendship between teen girls. You've got suspense, grief as Addie, the main character, copes with the loss of her beloved sister, Fiona. And then Seth, her neighbor, is forced to sort of confront the loss of his cousin, Thatcher. Mm-hmm. And then you also have the haves versus the have-nots, and the way the police do treat the wealthier residents in this area. So I was hoping you could share with listeners a little bit about what that was like to juggle all of those elements. And if that was that, I can only imagine that must have been a challenge to sort of keep all of those threads going.
Yeah, I mean, this is actually the first, not the first book I've written, but it's the first thriller I've written. And I knew I wanted there to be a strong romantic storyline because those are kind of my favorite thing to write. Yes. So I generally start with setting and I start with character. So I had the setting pretty early on. I had my main characters, and then I knew the most important part to nail down was the thriller part. Like, it wouldn't work if the mystery wasn't set out the right way, if you don't get a satisfying conclusion to that. Sure. And then I think the second thing to layer in was Addie and Seth's relationship, and then adding in all the suspects and the other, their friends. There's her ex-boyfriend, there's her ex-best friend, there's his whole family. And I think just I have an Excel spreadsheet that has all that on it, that I absolutely necessary. And then honestly, the other part is just getting feedback, critique partners, beta readers, my agents, my editor, eventually the copy editors, just making sure that everything is in there in the correct way and it all makes sense. Like, I couldn't have done it alone for sure.
Oh no, absolutely. It is. It's a lot to keep track of and to keep all of those sort of elements going and to keep readers guessing. And I have to say, I right up until the very end, I was still suspecting the wrong people. And so that was a lot of fun for me as a reader.
That's good to hear.
And I was hoping you could share, I love the Excel spreadsheet because I personally, I think that's so important when you're working with timelines timelines and characters and ages. And okay, if I go back in time, how old was this person here? Mm-hmm. And how old was that other character? Mm-hmm. Can you share a little bit also about your writing process? Are you someone who writes, you know, in the morning? Do you have dedicated time? Do you go by a word count or an amount of time you hope to clock each day?
Yeah. So I have two small children, so I have to balance my time writing with taking care of them, obviously.
That's a big challenge.
Yeah. Well, I do have childcare. I have grandparents nearby who help out a lot. And then I also have hired childcare, which is who they're with right now. So yeah, it depends on the season because, you know, preschool, kindergarten schedules all change. But right now I have a babysitter who comes in the mornings before nap time so that I have that dedicated time.
That's great.
Yeah, I have all day on Tuesdays, which is when they're with their grandparents. The schedule's going to shift slightly when school starts, but yeah, I'm not one of those people that can parent and write at the same time. I don't know how anyone does that. I would never be able to concentrate on what I'm trying to do. So yeah, having dedicated time is really important. Occasionally I'll write in the evenings. I used to write in the evenings a lot more before I got a regular childcare schedule, but I think it is kind of important to use the evenings to like wind down and, you know, get ready for bed and get a good night's sleep instead of just working all the time. But yeah, in terms of my process, I'll get an idea. Like I knew I wanted to write a thriller. I knew I wanted it to be about childhood friends and I knew I wanted a romance in it. And then I jot things down on like my notes app of my phone until there's enough stuff there that I'm like, oh, this is a book.
Okay, great.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes I do think as an author, you have an idea, but then it can only go so far and you can't see beyond. And then you think, oh, is this a short story? Is this anything?
Yeah. And so, I'm no good at short stories. Like right. I always need to add more. So, yeah, I mean, I have dozens of ideas on my notes app and it's only when I start to pull one out and like write more of it that I'm like, oh, maybe this is a book. So then, yeah, I moved to my Excel spreadsheet. Then I have a beat sheet that I created. That's a kind of a combination of Save the Cat and like a thriller beat sheet. And I also put a little romance beat sheet next to it so that I'm hitting the right romantic arc parts at the right times. It sounds complicated, but like laid out like that, it's not, it makes sense to me. I don't know if it would make sense to anyone else, but, so then I kind of do a loose outline. I keep it loose because things always change in the course of the story as I'm writing it. And then I kind of move into Scrivener. I don't know if you're familiar with Scrivener.
You know, I was just talking with a writer friend about this the other day, and we were saying how we both agree we should try it, but we're both afraid of the learning curve. So maybe you could share with me and listeners, is it as daunting as we think it is, or is it something we could learn quickly and easily, and it would save us from 6,000 documents?
I mean, everybody's different. I'm not going to tell anybody what to do, but for me, yeah, I was like, it's too complicated. I'm not leaving Microsoft Word. And then, yeah, I had a bunch of documents. I was constantly mixing them up, and Scrivener, it has a lot of features, but you don't have to use them all. Like, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of stuff in there I still have no idea how to use, but just being able to move your chapters around and then have a little side panel with like the character sheet. And under that is the outline, like just having it all in one, organized in one place has been very, very helpful for me. But yeah, and I do scene outlines then before I write each scene. I do those one at a time. Like I write the scene outline and then I write the scene. I don't do the whole book at once because things change as I write, like I said.
Sure.
And that's really helpful for keeping me on track. And then when I'm drafting, I guess I do have a word count kind of goal. I have a weekly goal. Daily goals don't help me because if I get off track, I don't want to like feel bad. I just knowing I can make it up the next day makes it work for me.
That's smart.
Yeah. But there's no like consequence for not hitting my goal. Like there are times when I realize I'm going off on completely the wrong track. So then I'll just go back and I'm one of those people. I can't just keep going. I need to go back and fix what was wrong. Like I edit as I go, which like some people will tell you not to do that, but I think it's each writer has to figure out their own process and I need to edit as I go. And that took me a while to figure out because you have so many people being like, no, just keep going, change it later. But
I know it is hard because I feel the same way. I guess the way some people feel like they've left an unmade bed, you know, and gone on vacation, or you've left something in your fridge that needs to go. And I feel the same way, but I've tried to write faster by leaving myself notes like go back and fix this or find a better verb. But then when I find those later, I'm like, oh, past Liz, come on. Couldn't you have found something in the moment? Why did you leave me 50 comments?
Yeah. No, I actually try and fix those at the time, unless I'm on like a strict deadline, which is new to me because this is my first book. But if I'm just drafting for myself, I will usually take my time, and that seems to work. Like, I feel like there is this pressure, like we have NaNoWriMo and stuff. It's like, write as fast as possible, write a book in a month. And I did that once for the very first time this spring, and I don't like it. I'm not going to do that again if I can help it. I'm going to try and take my time. But of course, deadlines make that complicated.
I know that is the challenge. And I think too, it's hard because we see so many authors coming out with a book a year or sometimes even more. Mm-hmm. And you feel this pressure that, okay, I should be producing. But I think at least for me, sometimes it's not until the story that I've ended it that I start to think, oh, what if it went this way? Okay, I like that idea better. And then you can go back and kind of change things around. So speaking of your process and things sort of evolving over time, I was wondering if you knew right away who the villain was, or if that shifted in your mind as you were writing.
In this book, I did. I don't always. I have other books I've drafted or partially drafted where there's one I got almost to the end and I'm like, the villain here is so boring. Like, why was it this person? And I went back through and looked at all my characters. I'm like, it would be more interesting if it was this person. So that I had to go back and change a bunch of stuff. But this one I did know. I can't tell you how I knew, cause I don't know how I knew. I don't remember.
I'm just always curious if that changes or so.
Yeah,
good to know you went into it that way. And then I love that it's set in New Jersey. And I was hoping you could tell us a little bit if you've always lived here or if you had a part of the state in mind as you were writing, because what I loved is it is very atmospheric, as you know, Addie is running through the woods and there's this ravine, and it's very easy to picture. And I think it really, the setting lends itself to this type of, you know, suspenseful story, especially, I mean, I was getting nervous for her when her dad and brother didn't want her running. I'm like, Addie, no, don't do it. Just stay alone. Or go to the gym, go on a treadmill, stay out of the woods.
But, yeah.
So no. I was hoping you could share if you had a spot in mind.
Yeah. Like, so I'm from New Jersey, born and raised. I went out of state for college and then lived actually abroad for a little while before coming.
Nice.
And actually I was in New York City for almost a decade before moving back down here. But I'm from Monmouth County. I'm from the Shore area. Uh-huh. And I said, this is not the first book I've written. I have two other books I wrote before this that were not published because they weren't good enough to be. Mm-hmm. Those were both set at the Jersey Shore. Oh, and so for this book, I was like, I've written two beach books. I have to do something different, you know?
Sure.
So, and I wanted the woods to be the setting because I love the woods just as a setting and also just as a place to go. And so my family, my cousins and I have gone camping up in like the northwest corner of New Jersey since I was very young, like 7 or 8 or so. And we still do that now with our own kids, my cousins and I.
Oh, that's and, so nice.
Yeah. And it's one of my favorite things to do every summer. So I invented a fictional town because I didn't want to be beholden to any one town. I wanted to make stuff up and have it suit my plot. So it's a fictional town, but I kind of set it in that area where we like to go camping. And like, of course, all the respect to the people that actually live in that area. Thank you for letting me borrow it. So it's not exactly where I'm from, but I still wanted to make it very Jersey. Like I have references to pork roll, egg and cheese, which
yes, I love that.
Confuse people that are not from New Jersey, or like a Wawa or a Quick Check or things like that. And when we talked about audiobook narrators, I asked if I could get someone who could do like a subtle New Jersey accent. And I think she did a really good job.
That's great.
Yeah. And so I've set all of the books I've written in places that I have either lived or spent a significant amount of time in, because I think I love an authentic setting. I couldn't just write a book and set it in like Colorado or something. I've never been there. I don't know what it's like to live there. Like,
right. I'm the same way, but I don't know if you have this. I always set mine in the suburbs because I've always lived in New Jersey, with the exception of going to Pennsylvania for college. So I was wondering, do you ever run into people, this happens to me a lot, where they think you've based your characters? And I'm wondering too, with your cousins, since cousins are such a big component in this, if you've had people say like, that's so-and-so, or I know you based it on so-and-so, or did you mean for this to be this town? Have you had that a lot?
I've had so much of that. People are like, ooh, who's this person? Who's this person? Like, who's right. the killer? I'm like, I did not base any single character on any one person. Like, right. I think all the characters we write are, we borrow from the people we know and the people we've met. Like, I think that's inevitable, but I would not say that anyone is a specific cipher for somebody else, because it's kind of hard to do that. Like, you don't want to offend anybody. And also, like,
exactly.
I think it's more interesting to invent characters than to just copy them from people you know. Plus, you don't know what's going on in anyone else's head other than your own. So,
yes,
so you probably wouldn't get it right anyway. So,
exactly. I know. I tend to think it like you pull a detail from this person, you pull a detail from that one, and then It is, as you say, it's a lot more interesting when you have free rein to give them any sort of characteristics. But while we're on the topic of setting, I did have just one more question. On your bio, you mentioned that you like wandering through the weirder parts of New Jersey, and so I was hoping you maybe could share with listeners any places that are kind of like must visits if you're new to New Jersey, or just looking for, I mean, when I was reading your novel, I had sort of like the Sussex County area in mind, in terms of the woods and just that atmosphere. But I was wondering if you had any places.
I had, like I said, where we go camping, like the Delaware Water Gap area is where I kind of set the story, like up near like the Appalachian Trail and stuff. I guess that is Sussex County. You're right. I had to look it up. I'm from the shore. Like I said, I will always be a beach person. One of my favorite places to go is Sandy Hook. It's about, 10 minutes from where I live now.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah. And funnily enough, I don't spend a ton of time there in the summer, like, because there's always like crowds and stuff. I like going in like the fall when it's a little more deserted. And you can just kind of walk the empty beaches, and they have bike trails, and they have like the old chapel, and there's a little restaurant and stuff. I love Sandy Hook. I'm from not far from Asbury Park, so I will always love Asbury Park. I love the boardwalk. I love the restaurants. I love the beaches. That also gets very crowded in the summer, so I prefer it in the off season.
It does. That's such a fun, especially having lived in New Jersey like all our lives, to see that kind of evolve and change. And I love Asbury Lanes and all that. You know, to watch it kind of redevelop has been really neat.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like I'm discovering the state all over again now that I have kids, because obviously my interests have changed. Like, I could tell you every single playground and within a 10-mile radius or more than that. Or there's a lot of really great little zoos around here, or even a little bit further. I lived in Jersey City for a while, and I love Jersey City. I love it so much. I love it more than New York City, if you could believe that. Like, I moved there while still working in Manhattan, and I was like, why didn't I just live here the whole time?
That's funny. Yeah, that is really charming too. I love White Eagle Hall and the restaurants around there. It's such a fun spot.
The park there and everything. And I mean, I'm trying to think of like weird places. I feel like it's more like when I was in high school, my friends and I would drive around looking. There was some like abandoned mansion somewhere. I couldn't tell you where it is now, but we would always drive by that at night and like kind of get out of our car and stare at it and be like, ooh, but we never were brave enough to go inside. Are there somewhere where the Jersey Devil was supposed to like lurk somewhere in South Jersey that we drove down to? That.
Yes, like the, all of those sort of legends of lurking in the woods and the Pine Barrens and those.
Yes, areas. Yes, and I never actually found the Jersey Devil, but
we still have time, right?
We still have time. I think. There's still time to explore for sure.
So I'd love to ask, I know you mentioned writing a novel earlier this spring very quickly, but I was wondering if you, what you're working on next, will that be your next project or do you have something else in mind that you could share with readers?
Yeah.
Readers and listeners.
Well, I can't officially share anything yet, but I am working on another YA thriller.
Oh, great.
This one is not set in New Jersey because I was trying to not just write the same book over and over again. This one, I think I can share a few little details. I set it on a coastal estate in Maine.
Oh, it.
Yeah, which is a place I have visited. And I actually have the main character is from New Jersey. So she's kind of a tourist there. When, like I was kind of a tourist there. So I feel like the point of view is authentic. And I've always wanted to do a story set in like a crumbly mansion, like on a rock overlooking the sea. Like that's always a cool setting to me.
Yes.
I think that I have a strong romantic thread in that story as well, which I think I'm always going to have a strong romantic thread in my stories because it's like my favorite kind of thing to write.
Yes. And I think that works so well also because it's almost like you have this, you have suspense, but then you also have sort of the romantic suspense of, especially in this novel, I was suspicious of both Seth and Jeremy. So I think it works really well for readers to kind of be guessing along like, is she making the right decisions? Mm-hmm. The main character, you're sort of scared not only for her safety, but for her heart. Is she choosing the good guy or the bad guy? So
Yeah. And I think I have an element of that in my second book, but not the exact same thing because you obviously want to explore new things in future work. There's a strong element of friendship in Girls Who Burn, I think, especially friendship lost and trying to repair a friendship. And I think I delve even deeper into that in my second novel.
That's great because I think that feels so timely. I mean, there's so much about friends growing apart and how do you kind of do you reconcile or do you let that go and move forward? Mm. And so I loved that piece of it. I love that we got more closure as it kept going. Like, what was it that kind of, you know, sort of the backstory between Jen and Addie? And that was really nice to see.
Yeah. And I think in earlier drafts, I know we're supposed to be talking about my second book, but going back to my first book, I think I focused a little too much on the romance and there wasn't enough of the friendship in there. And it was really my editor who asked me, she's like, can we bring out more of Jen and this friendship and find out what went wrong between them? And I'm so glad she pulled on that thread for me because I love the way that turned out.
And I think a lot of readers will relate to that, sort of that friendship that you wish that in that you could go back in time and sort of fix it if you could do it over. So I love that you explored that.
Oh, thank you. In my second book, there's kind of like this tragedy in my protagonist's past that she shares with her two now ex-best friends. And this story kind of explores them coming back together and kind of having to confront this tragedy. And it has to do with the ocean. This book is, it's not a beach book. It's more like a cliff book, but it's very much an ocean book. And I love the ocean. So I liked getting to have that setting there.
Oh, that's great. It sounds great. I'm excited to read that when it comes
out.
Thank you. And then I was going to ask if you have any recommendations for things that you've read recently that you would suggest our listeners might want to pick up and read.
Oh, I have so many. My favorite writer in the entire world is Tana French. She writes adult thrillers and her prose is just like next level. I don't know if you've read any of her books.
Yes, and I have so many friends who always cite her as one of their idols.
Yeah. So I think actually the reason I wanted to set Girls Who Burn in the Woods was because of her first book, which is called In the Woods, is one of my favorite books. But her latest, The Hunter, I think is so good. It's about the small town in Western Ireland and like the dynamics of like these townspeople. And I think stories about people who have their lives have been intertwined since like birth is always really interesting. Like these neighbors and these families and these friendships that have lasted for like decades and how that can kind of like become dangerous after a certain time.
Yes. You know each other's secrets, right? For better or worse.
Yeah. I think that book was excellent. I also recently read Night Watching by Tracy Sierra.
Oh my gosh. I listened to that and I had goosebumps. I was so scared.
It's so scary. I almost didn't think I could read it because I don't like stories where like small children are in danger because I'm sensitive to that, obviously. But
sure.
Tracy's actually in my debut group and I kind of asked her, I'm like, can I read this without getting really upset? And she like very subtly spoiled a couple things for me. So I was like, okay, I can read it.
I know. I listened and I was listening at night and even I was in the dark and I kept sitting up, looking like, is mm-hmm. someone in this room with me? It was so, I've been recommending it to everyone. It was great.
It's so good. Another book I read recently by another fellow debut, it's called Not Like Other Girls by, Mare Adamo. I don't know how to pronounce her last name, but this is a YA. It's more a mystery than a thriller because it doesn't really have that like element of danger, at least not throughout the bulk of the story. It's about a girl. If you like quote unquote unlikable female protagonists, like the one that I tried to write, And friendship falling out. This is a must read book.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it deals with some heavy topics in places, but it's about this girl who's lost all of her friends. She's been ostracized by her friend group. And then one of her ex friends disappears. And she has to kind of figure out, like, do I try and find out what happened to this girl that I used to care about? Or do I just mind my own business because all these people have turned on me?
Sounds really interesting.
It's so good. It also has a really good romance. But yeah, I could keep going. And I don't know how long you want this podcast to be. But.
No, that's great. Thank you. And then I was going to ask, where can our listeners find you if they would like to see, you know, what you're up to next or just follow your writing and where you'll be if you have any events coming up?
So I'm at mkpagano.com. You can find me under mk_Pagano on Twitter and Instagram. I think just MK Pagano on TikTok. I didn't have to add the underscore there. I am supposed to be signing books at the Barnes & Noble in Brick.
Great.
This weekend. I still have to confirm the time and everything, but that should be up on my website. I don't know when this podcast is going up, if that'll be in time, but I will, I don't have any official signings anymore. I've had three already scheduled right now, but they'll definitely be up to date on my website. I'll announce them on my social media. I would love to. At my last event in Asbury Park, actually, there was a teenage book club that came and attended.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And it's just like, I mean, I'm a mother of small children. Like, I don't know a ton of actual teenagers in real life right now. It's just not the like life stage I'm in. So most of the people that I've heard feedback about my book from are people either my age or older. Like my mom and all her friends, all my aunts are very excited about it.
Oh, that's great.
But getting to talk to actual teenagers and hear what they liked about the book and listen to their questions and just have a dialogue with them about like being a teen today and the themes that they found in my book. It was so wonderful. And so if there's like any other teenagers out there that want to talk to me about my book, I'd love to talk to you.
Oh, that's great. And your book has such a stunning cover. I don't know if you had a hand in that at all, but I'm sure when you first saw it, you must have like almost, I can imagine your breath would catch like, wow, this is really stunning.
Yeah, thank you. It was funny because they did ask me for some input. I sent them like my Pinterest board of like just things that images that I had pinned while drafting the book. And it was mainly like girls running through the woods. So the first cover they sent me was actually very different. It like had a very kind of wilderness feel to it. And it felt a little off to me. It kind of felt like it belonged on like a novelization of Yellow Jackets or something.
Okay, I see what you mean.
Yeah, it was very wilderness. And I was like, well, this isn't about the wilderness. This is about a woods at this outskirts of a town. That's not the same thing. And so I was like, can we just maybe try something else? And then they just came back with this. And we went back and forth on the font a few times. But other than that, like what they came up with was just, it was perfect. Like full credit to the cover designer on that. I didn't really have anything to do with that besides saying, I love this. Thank you.
Yes, it's gorgeous. But I was going to say, I could definitely see where it would be really eye-catching for adults and teens alike. So I just wanted to mention that for our listeners. Check it out because it's a really stunning cover.
Thank you.
And MK, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today and for sharing your process and the backstory of Girls Who Burn with us.
Thank you so much.
I hope listeners pick it up. And I hope if there are any adult or teen book clubs out there, get in touch with MK. And I'm sure it would be a really lively discussion with all of these great themes that you've packed in here so succinctly.
Thank you so much. It was so great speaking with you.
Original production. The Bookhouse is an independent bookstore with two locations in New Jersey, Millburn and Long Branch. Are you the guy who says they like to support indie bookstores? Good. Then be that guy. Come shop at the Bookhouse. Books, puzzles, games, coffee, cards, live author events, comedy nights, and most important, a real sense of community where actual human beings engage with one another. The Bookhouse in downtown Millburn and at Pier Village in Long Branch. That's the Bookhouse. Independent, local, quaint as fuck. Follow us on Instagram and come visit our stores.